bags of cream, red roses too.
This is Ed Cohen, your editor of Global Business News,
coming to you today from the New York metro region and San Diego, California. Our guest today is very special, Dr. Jason Williams, who is an executive in talent leadership and organizational development for GSK, that's GlaxoSmithKline. And we're going to be discussing accelerating development of local talent, local market talent through mobility programs. Well, you know, in the world of globalization and talent development, there's nothing more exciting than cross-border experience, moving into different cultures, working with different people, learning about new customers and developing products and services that penetrate markets and generate opportunity in the local communities. Let's welcome Dr. Williams.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Just great. Thanks for being our guest and happy holiday season to you. I wanted to ask you about the world, the world of global HR and the world of talent from your perspective. If you could just chat for a minute about yourself and your role at GSK, please.
Okay. Well, I lead talent management for our global R&D business, as well as a commercial organization that we call our global franchises. And I've got primary accountability for, you know, executive succession, executive recruitment, development of talent, whether that be people who are currently in executive or senior roles, or those who are successors to those roles, and also help out in, you know, other aspects just related to, you know, whether it's recruitment and retention and helping to facilitate moves, whether that be cross-border, cross-line of business, or even cross-therapy areas, specifically in R&D, to help both with their development and with the needs of the business at the time.
What keeps you up at night?
Right now, I think what keeps me up at night is making certain that we have the scientific workforce of the future, not just looking at, you know, kind of what's happening in the near term, the next 2 to 3 years, but will we have the people and the capabilities that we need 5 years out, 7 years out to help ensure that our business stays successful?
So how are talent management and mobility teams currently working in your HR function? It seems like it's multifaceted, but, you know, if you can just address that, what's the role of talent management and talent mobility in GSK?
At the moment, I mean, we're actually in process of becoming closer than we had in the past. In the past, we probably have been more of two ships passing in the night, operating on kind of opposite ends of the process, talent management being engaged in conversations and helping to facilitate talent moves, the managers or leaders of those individuals actually making kind of the final decision and budgeting, et cetera, and then mobility comes in and plays their role. We're actually moving to a much stronger place where we can do some forecasting for mobility, so they'll get a sense of what's the volume to anticipate that's coming from our business and be able to look at that based on region as well. And so they are going to be more consultative, and that is proactively maybe sharing some information that may be useful and have previously not been considered before, whether it's specific to a country or specific to a type of move that's happening.
So I would imagine that the collective goal is to more effectively align mobility, align international assignments around global business and global HR strategy. Would that be correct?
I would probably say maybe less global HR strategy. I mean, it's more how does HR operate together is where the global HR piece comes to play. I think it's more around making certain that we are operating most effectively to help drive the business needs, wherever that be, whether it be global or within a region, moving from Singapore to Japan or to Hong Kong, and how that process is facilitated and how effective we are at getting someone on the ground and in a position that they can start adding value as soon as possible.
Obviously, in a company like GSK, is it safe for us to assume that the C-level CEO and the other executive teams are fully supporting this with budget? They're not watching every nickel and dime?
Yeah, they actually are. I mean, one of the unique things is our CEO, Andrew Witty, he experienced rotational program throughout his career. So he's worked in about 5 or 6 countries. He's had the experience of being identified early on as key talent and getting those moves around the world to help grow his breadth and depth. So he's a very strong advocate for it, and actually one of the programs that we have in our company, which is called the Future Strategy Group, he actually started that. It's actually called the CEO's Future Strategy Group, and that's a rotational program that brings together the highest potential emerging talent we have in our organization for an intensive 6-month assignment at headquarters, looking at the organization globally, and then they are redeployed across the organization to take those learnings and their past experiences and help drive the organization forward in an even different way. So, yes, it is supported at the highest level of the organization, and fortunately, we have a person who's lived through it, who's championing it as our CEO.
It's a hot ticket then inside the company. I would assume that key players, A players, high potential players, lining up to get into this kind of a program. Is that correct?
A lot of people, probably couldn't put a number on it, but a lot of people definitely want international assignments, whether it be from more developed markets like the U.S. and U.K. into emerging markets, but similarly out of emerging markets into mid-size and large markets like the U.S. and U.K. So it is definitely part of the ambition and part of the employee value proposition that employees have the opportunity for at GSK.
Let's talk about where talent will and won't move, okay? Do you think people will want to go to Russia today? But what about this topic about where talent will and won't?
Yeah, you know, that's some interesting research, and I've definitely seen it come out to play in conversations that I've had with individuals in our company. There are certain places that are hot in-demand markets where people want to move to, and the U.S., London, Hong Kong, Singapore tend to fall in those areas. You find, you know, maybe less people who want to move to the Middle East or to certain areas in South America. I actually haven't heard the Russian piece, but I'm certain, depending on individuals' preference, that could be one of the places they say they don't want to go. And what I've noticed is, depending on each individual, sometimes over time they will become more flexible in where they'll go. Others stay firm and say, I won't go to these places, and that can limit their career growth and some development opportunities. So my advice is always stay as open as possible and only say no once you've got all the information and an opportunity has been offered to you. It's better to hear it out first versus to say no ahead of time, and it really could have been something that if you got more information, it might have worked out just fantastic for you.
So what about diversity? Are you seeing, and do you encourage, but are you seeing diversity in the people willing to go on international assignment, on a cross-border assignment?
That's a really good question. Diversity defined by how we look at it in the U.S., let me address that second. First, we do see a fair amount of diversity when it just comes to gender in terms of male and female. So I'd probably say the people who want to make an international move, whether they're male or female, it's probably about the same percentage generally. And then when it gets down to more of minority groups, in the U.S., you probably don't see as much. That could be contributed to by a lot of things. But with our organization having such a strong footprint in the U.S. and U.K., we tend to have a lot of expatriates from the U.S. and U.K. deployed all over the world. And so one of the things that we want to really start taking advantage of is the local in-market talent, and how can we take them out of their local market at the right time for development experience, and then bring them back so they can be even a stronger contributor. So we're working more on, I'd say, diversity of people from emerging markets, and we continue to try to tease out the right individuals in the U.S. and U.K. who fall into some of our diversity buckets to encourage them and to show them what those opportunities are with getting experience abroad.
Let's talk about modern mobility, i.e. the PwC Talent Mobility Report. Which direction is mobility headed in GSK? I assume you have all kinds of different policies, all kinds of different structures.
Yeah, you know, my sense, Ed, is that we're moving more towards shorter-term assignments and, you know, more rotations to see how we can get people experience a bit more quickly and sometimes cause less disruption in their lives. An example is we have an individual now, I want to say he's from Japan, and he is on a rotational assignment in London, right? So he's just been there for, it's either 6 or 9 months, and that enabled some flexibility with his family, not to have to make the full relocation, but has allowed him to gain valuable experience. And as he's finishing up his program, he's now able to go back and do even more with the learning and insight he gained in a much shorter period of time. So we do start to look at how quickly can we get ROI, and does that ROI benefit us most in the market where the person has the assignment, or will it benefit us and them more back in their home market?
When you have like a one-way relocation, does that mean that you're going to take somebody and say you're going to destination A and you're going to stay there?
Yeah.
Is that happening these days?
It is. Matter of fact, one of my peers moved from London to Singapore and is not going back. So Singapore is her final destination. She may decide later on to move somewhere else in the region, but the plan is not to bring her back to London, which is where she started her career with GSK. So that does happen. Some people want to move to certain parts of the world, and that's where they want to stay.
What about virtual, using the internet and technology? Is there a place for virtual mobility, or do you want everybody to be hands-on?
There is a place, and actually in the last 2 or 3 months, I've stumbled across a few virtual employees, not many, but depending on their role, that does happen. I mean, in sales, the people who are in our field force, they are 100% virtual and many times live a fair distance from where we have a formal office present. So that is there. It's dependent on the type of job that they're doing, but as long as they can work within the global or regional constraints of where they are, it is something that we are open to. I don't know that we are openly recruiting for that. That's something I haven't gone to check, but I do know we have people in our organization who are 100% virtual.
Okay, let's move on to one of the things you said earlier having to do with the future strategy group, short-term assignments, and what, again, is a global franchise from your view? You mentioned it a couple of times.
Yes. So for us, a global franchise is, I'll call it, some of the more operational aspects of how you commercialize a product. So for us, when we looked at our footprint, let's just say we had a product that was on the market in 40 countries. Typically, in each country, you'd have a country manager and their team figure out what's the value proposition of that product in their country. They may develop their own marketing materials and brochures, and that's something that would happen over 40 times. So what we decided to do is streamline and take information from the local operating companies and kind of aggregate that information and try to make some of those decisions more centrally with their input and guidance. And so just taking some of the work off the table so that they can focus on what they do best, which is take products to market locally and not have to worry about some things that could be handled more centrally. So it's more of a, almost like a center of excellence, so to speak, for certain franchises, such as our respiratory franchise or oncology franchise within the organization.
Let's, as we come up to a close here, Dr. Williams, let's talk about mobility here and the future. Obviously, what you're doing personally here and what the company is interested in, if I may summarize, is to meld the mobility programs with management talent development to build on the newly acquired skill sets and experiences of the expatriate population. Do you see that happening in other companies, or is it just unique to GSK?
No, it's actually fairly common, at least in the companies that I monitor and companies that I for previously. That is becoming something that is, I don't want to say commonplace, but it is becoming a differentiator and an experience that you may not get at certain organizations, but others do. Matter of fact, you know, one of the trends I've seen is for organizations to recruit people early on and put them right into a rotational program. So we're talking about, you know, young kids straight out of undergrad get an opportunity to rotate through three or four assignments over 3 or 4 years, with at least one of those opportunities being international. So it's a draw, it's a competitive advantage in many instances, and I know firsthand that many of the leading companies are using that both to develop their talent and to help grow their business.
So as we come to a close here, I want to say thank you to Dr. Jason Williams of GSK. We've been talking about aligning global mobility ever more closely to talent, succession planning, and global resourcing. Dr. Williams, thanks very much for being our guest on Global Radio Talk Show. I invite you to come back again and explore things further.
Thank you very much, Ed. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, and have a great holiday. This is Ed Cohen, editor of Global Business News, and your host on Global Radio Talk Show, signing off today from Old Town, San Diego.
Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.